iHeart Podcast.
Friendos, it's We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
And we have been through it. The holidays.
We really had, some really epic holiday travel.
Deets.
I think this is the first time we have flown over Christmas. Is that true? With kids?
No, this is at least the second time we've done it with two kids.
Okay. Well, it feels like our flight times were much more in the holiday time frame. Does that make sense?
Nope, not at all.
You think we've been at the airport when it's that busy?
Oh, I see what you're saying. We've flown at less typical times. Yeah, well, with Bryn in school, we're really tied to everyone else's schedule now.
Right. So we couldn't like head there early.
Yeah.
So we started our trip very chaotically.
Day of the flight. We had a nighttime flight.
Day of the flight, Maven throws up. It doesn't seem like a stomach bug. She just didn't have a fever. We're feeling it out.
Yeah.
And then we discover that one of our children turned off our refrigerator.
When did they turn it off? How long had it been completely off? No one knows for sure.
I would guess at least 2 days.
Everything in the freezer was completely melted.
So we just throw away our whole fridge. And then we were like thinking, okay, so she probably got sick because she ate something bad from that fridge.
And then during thinking that, she barfed again.
Yeah.
So she barfed about 5 times in an hour.
Yeah. Well, partly because I feel like she kept eating. So that was also why I was like, how sick can she be if she keeps wanting to eat?
Yeah, I had a feeling she wasn't really sick.
Yeah. So then she eats some things, doesn't throw up for a few hours. We cross our fingers and head to the airport because, well, we don't want to deal with rearranging our
You don't want to rebook a flight. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Like, she can barf on the plane. She probably won't.
So, get to the airport.
Before we get to the airport, I go to check in on my phone, only then to discover our 5 p.m. flight had been changed months earlier to a 7 p.m. flight, and I somehow never got the notification.
Because it went to spam because you ordered through Orbitz, which I think we should never do again.
Our driver was 40 minutes early.
Yeah. Our driver's early. We just got in the car. We're getting onto the highway, and we realize we're actually heading to the airport
4.5 hours early.
4.5 hours early. So then we get to LaGuardia, and in front of the ticket counter, Maven...
Well, first of all, they can't find... Our tickets aren't linked. Like, I did the thing in the machine, and it could only find me. It didn't have the rest of the tickets attached to it, so we had to go up and ask, and they start looking at it, and they're like, this is weird. Hold on. Clickety-clackety. You know how they type in an impossible amount? They did that.
Like a character in a 90s
movie.
And
we're like, ugh. And then I look over, and you were with Maven, and something had happened.
She's puking all over the floor of the airport.
Bright pink. Bright Gatorade pink.
Oh, yeah. And
we go, so we're 4.5 hours early for a flight.
Our daughter's puking at the airport. We managed to get it mostly cleaned up. Still have a kid with puke breath.
You take her to the bathroom. While you're in the bathroom, this woman is still like, I don't understand this. And she's like, hey, Ted, and calls someone over. And he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's something this. I'm like, oh, no, they don't have our flight. So finally she goes, well, I don't know why, but here's 4 first class tickets. And then you showed back up. And I said, guess what? Everything's fine.
So then we have first class tickets, which is amazing because we get waved through security pretty quickly.
With a barfy girl.
With a barfy girl.
Really,
it was like, it really turned around at that moment. And then we went and sat down at a restaurant, got some food, the very few sit down restaurant options in this LaGuardia terminal, which is, I think, annoying when you have kids.
Well, I mean,
but anyway,
it's a brand new terminal at LaGuardia, which was another godsend. Because some of those terminals look
well,
like are
so they ended up having a really good kids play area where they have a screen where the kids, they can like go on one of these iPads and type in the name that they want their airplane or helicopter.
They design an aircraft and then write their name on it.
Yeah. So then it takes off on this large, huge screen on the
public
wall.
As could be.
Yeah.
Screen.
So Bryn's there and he names about 10 planes or helicopters with his name. And then other kids start showing up.
And Bryn gets a brilliant idea.
Bryn gets a brilliant idea to name one of the planes Poop. And then all the kids are just naming.
Well, no, first of all, Bryn wrote Poop and he goes, Daddy. And I look at him and I give him a big old, we don't do that. And I sort of scolded him in front of other kids. And he was suddenly so embarrassed that he did that. And this girl, there were these two sisters that were much older than him.
Much older than
she
her,
heard me
but
say
still
it.
Only like 10, 9? They're
one
not
One of
that
them was
old.
Probably 11.
Okay.
But the 11-year-old heard me scold him, and he was like put his head down like he was ashamed. And then he turns to her, and she just puts her finger up in the air and just, like, wags it back and forth. And I was like, hey, let me parent here.
But then those girls go on to name the airplanes all of these obscene things. It was, like, butthole.
Butthole was the first one. There's a few buttholes.
There's a lot of blank hole.
And then somebody escalated it to something with ass in it. Ass
oh,
face.
Yeah, no, it was funnier than that. They were actually really
like,
funny.
Suck ass.
Yeah, it was a lot of things like that that I hadn't heard since like the 90s, and I was like, do kids still say these things?
Suck ass?
No, but it would be like butt face. Like it was just like all these like sort of like older brother insults from like a movie.
Yeah, then there's these older boys showed up, and this one kid just totally by himself, not smiling or giggling at all, just walks up, it's like this, and just writes like fuckhole. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, as you can see, we were at the airport for a very long time watching this screen.
Yeah.
So we saw everyone's take. But
this kid just wrote the most vulgar thing and then just walked away like it was, you know, it's just like Tuesday.
Like you didn't do that as a kid?
I mean, we've all heard the story where I wrote fuck Peter on the ladder.
Right. Okay. But so Bryn was eating this up. He's never been more entertained. He like was hanging out with all the kids who showed up. He was like an uncle at a bar. He was like, hey, what are you writing on the airplane? What's going on over here?
Hey, welcome to the play area. I'm the mayor. I've been through like, about 10 rotations of kids. So.
He'd be like putting his arm around some kid's shoulder and whispering in his ear and being like, I put poop on the plane.
No, well, he started telling other kids to write poop because I told him he couldn't.
Yeah.
And then at one point he's like, it's not fair. They can write poop, but I can't write poop. And I'm like, well, I'm not their dad. I'm your dad.
So then, anyway, after 9 million years, we boarded our first class plane. And
it was...
You know we got that free drink as fast as possible. And then...
Boy, I got a double.
Ooh.
I didn't ask for one, but she gave it to me.
I had a confusing interaction with her because I was trying to ask what alcohol they had, and it was not a great airline, and they did not... have options. But she
really, because she listed at least 3 whiskey options before I said I'll take that one. I don't know, there could have been
okay
more.
Well, when I was asking her things, I was like, what do you have? And she was like, wine. And I was like, what kind of wine? And she was like, white wine, red wine. She did not want to help me.
She was flirting with me. She's like, did you notice I gave you a double?
Okay, that makes sense because when the pilots got in, she was super chatty and like flirty. And then like they had like, you know how sometimes there's a pilot on the plane who's not like
Not the cool one?
Not flying the plane. Like, there was, like, a third guy who was, the like...
co-pilot?
No, it was a third guy. And he was, like,
navigator,
either...
What is that?
Can I talk?
I need to know what the role is.
So, I think he was either just, like, an extra pilot who was taking this flight to get back home, or he was, like, observing. But he was, like, up there, and she was, like, ooh, James Bond. Like, she had like... She had never met him before, but she was just, like, trying to be really flirty, and it was just, like, sort of sad. Like, I was like, why are you...
She was a little weird. Yeah. She'd make these just sort of stern jokes, and I was like, oh, I think you're joking.
Anyway, Maven passed out almost immediately upon takeoff, which was amazing, and there was no plane pukes. And we got there quickly.
I just say, we bought these compact car seat booster things that you can fold up, and I can fit both of them in my backpack. And they make traveling with kids so great, because some Lyft drive, you know, ride, what are they called? App, Uber, Lyft, they won't pick you up. If you don't have car seats.
Yeah, those car seats are great. And then coming home, we had sort of a slightly chaotic airport experience all over again.
That was the most packed I've seen an airport at O'Hare. Our tickets, once again, were not connected, so we had to stand in the bag check line. We checked our bags, and then we had to get in the assistance line to get it because we couldn't get the kids' tickets. And then we had to get in the security line, and we were not going to make it. Until somebody whisked us away to the family line.
Also, while we're standing in just these three eternally long lines towards the end of it, I didn't eat breakfast because I have this thing where I have to take my pill and then I can't eat for a half hour. So then as we're standing in like security for 8,000 years, it started to hit me that I was like, oh my God, I have like super low blood sugar. And now I'm suddenly going to be like dead weight in this stressful situation. And I realized I had a cookie in my bag and shoved it in my mouth so fast, and I was so glad I had it.
You know what? I'm more glad you had it.
And then Maven touched her ear, and her ear started bleeding a lot. She, like, scratched her ear by accident, and she was, like, stressed out about that. And then, thank God, once again, an angel situation where a man pulled us out of security and he was like, you guys got to go up in the family line.
His name was Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Once again, it turned around and we survived.
And we arrived at the gate as the final group was being called. So we got straight in line and straight to our seats. And it was sort of best case scenario in the opposite direction where
we were there as short time as possible. Yeah, it all worked out.
And so,
in the end. Sometimes
now,
you can't see, you know, the path that's being made for you, but
yeah,
it's
there. You got to drive forward by looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Go see Frozen 2 and then you'll get it.
We just saw Frozen 2.
Okay.
Boy, when...
We should do a separate segment for Frozen 2.
I just say that horse is peak little girl Maven fantasy. So where are we now, Beth? We're back home, but we're not.
I know. We're in a weird limbo. We're in an Airbnb in our town while our bathroom continues to be renovated. And it's nice.
It's such a weird... Everything's weird.
I was stressed out at first because we don't have all of our stuff with us. And it's like, we're just... Like, we keep thinking of things we don't have. But... There is a lot of room in this house, and it's like, it's...
We're in a three-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Our Airbnb is significantly bigger than our actual apartment.
Yeah.
But it was the closest thing, and boy, and you don't have work this week, and I'm sort of working, and so we're all just on this little vacation with just us in this big empty house.
I can't remember the last time we, like, actually had... like a vacation in a home like scenario, just the family, where we don't have a lot of things to do.
We have nothing to do.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so the hardest part was, so I went over to our apartment, and it is sealed. Every door, every entryway, they have done a very thorough job of putting plastic up, so, and painter's tape on the crack of all four, you know, sides of the door, so no dust can get anywhere. And then there's these giant sheets of plastic in front of everything. So it's double sealed. So I stopped over. I'm like, I'm going to grab a couple things. And you can't get in anything without breaking this seal and then taping it back up. So I had to get the microphones. So we're recording in this Airbnb, and my mic stand broke. And so Beth is in.
What is happening? Like, we just, there's so many weird accidents this week.
But I just need to paint a picture of what you look like right now. Beth is in a lazy boy.
A lazy boy.
A leather lazy boy with a broken mic stand on a little side table next to her. And she's just like craning her neck over it to speak. And how are you comfortable? How's it going?
I'm okay. I have to crane my neck in a weird way to hit this microphone, but
me too.
It's okay.
My neck hurts.
Well,
but I still can't.
Let it go.
Let it go. If I sit up straight, I sound like this. Oh boy. So Beth, if the sound is all terrible, you know what? When has it ever been good?
When has anything ever been good? Okay.
So
we need to wrap this up.
The last thing I want to say is we have three bedrooms. So I put our kids in separate bedrooms last night, and they were all excited. Maven was super excited, and Bryn was pretending to be excited. And then tonight I put them to bed, and Bryn just goes, do you think Maven could sleep in this room? I'm too scared to be alone. And it was really genuine and adorable. And Maven was happy to oblige.
They really love each other.
Right?
Right.
What did she... Oh, would you tell them what they said about marriage?
So, Bryn did his thing again where he was like, you know, boys can marry boys and girls can marry girls. And I was like, yeah.
That's his thing?
Well, he said that before. He's like, he's kind of latched onto it now after he fought it so hard and then he realized that it was true. Now he's like, this is a fact I like to share. And so he was saying that, and I was like, yeah, are you gonna marry a boy or a girl? And he was like, I'm gonna marry a girl. And then he was like, maybe I'll marry Maven. And I was like, well, you can't marry Maven. And she was standing right there, and she was like, they were both like fighting for it, and she was like,
yes, we can.
Yeah, she was like, I was like, you're not, brothers and sisters are not allowed to marry each other. And Maven was like, we can pretend marry each other. Like, they were both just very, and then Bryn was like, no, we'll real marry each other. Like, and he was very, it took him a long time.
You can't tell that kid what to do.
But they're committed. I can see why, though. Like, we were talking.
I mean, honestly, they're compatible.
When I was telling Maven recently that, like, she might someday have her own bedroom, she was like, you and Daddy will get separate bedrooms too? And I was like, yeah, in her mind, like, we share a bedroom, they share a bedroom. Like, it's not, it's unclear what's happening.
Oh, yeah, like, we're the adult married couple, so they must be the kid married couple.
Yeah, they're inseparable.
Huh. Well, here's to your union. That was a weird thing to say. I got a little tiny baby glass of whiskey, and I keep wanting to cheers with it. Cheers.
Cheers.
And now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where we share something that we learned about parenting from a place.
Okay, so this article is from Mother Jones. It's called, What If Everything You Knew About Disciplining Kids Was Wrong?
Ooh, I want to click on that.
Yeah. Great. And it's an article describing sort of the research and methods of this, I believe, psychologist, Dr. Green.
Doctor.
And he has sort of pioneered these techniques where rather than punishing the children who are the most acting out in school situations, you spend more time talking it out with those children and sort of helping them figure out how to deal with situations that are stressing them out. And so he's talking about how there's different, learning disabilities or just issues children could be having where they are not, their brain is not developing at the same rate as other kids. And they're talking specifically about the prefrontal cortex. Sorry, I'm trying to like remember this all from memory, but
something about a prefrontal cortex.
No, but
the brain was involved.
The front of your brain, which processes your executive function. In some kids, it develops later than others. And so they're talking about how do we deal with the kid who can't sit still in class or who acts out or who is constantly doing this thing. It's like he uses an analogy that says, like, if a kid got a D on the spelling test, you wouldn't punish them. You would try to talk through why that happened and how you could fix that. But when kids are having certain emotional issues, the system sometimes will continue to punish them even though they don't know how to not do that thing.
Yeah, they're punishing the disease, the symptoms, instead of trying to cure the disease.
Right. And so basically the technique is just, unfortunately for teachers who have their hands very full, the solution with these kids is to spend time talking it through with them and letting them cool down. And, you know,
yeah, it's basically meeting the child's needs and solving problems instead of trying to control behavior.
Yeah. And trying to talk through how they'll behave the next time. What's another solution for how they could seek help if they're feeling themselves getting close to that situation again, or, you know,
yeah, it's about putting the problem solving into their hands. And I've had moments with Bryn where I'm like, oh, yeah, this does fit in with more successful times of dealing with Bryn while he's, you know, freaking out than others. Because when I just put up the wall of no, and like, you're being punished, it does feel like I might get a result that's in the short term desirable, like he'll stop doing a thing. But it does feel like I'm actually reinforcing a pattern of behavior instead of teaching him to recognize how we got here.
Right.
So recently he had a bit of a meltdown in the grocery store. And so I had to sort of grab him and take him outside. And I had a successful cool down with him because, one, I grabbed him. And like, obviously that's an aggressive thing. I had to get him out and he's screaming and kicking. But I was just showing, you know, not showing him any emotion or showing him that I'm upset or anything. I'm just going, okay, we're going to go cool down. And we go outside and we walk over to the edge of the parking lot. And then I just let him be there. And I just, and he was like so upset. And he was just like kicking the fence and this and here. And it's sometimes in that, I try to ignore him, but I too aggressively ignore him. Like, I'll ignore him, and I'm clearly making a point to not look at him. And I feel like that blows up in my face because then he's defiant with it. And so instead, I just stayed with him, and I looked at him, and I tried to just be where he was. And I was like, you should kick this part. Come kick it over here. He's kicking the fence.
Yeah, well, that was like, one of the examples in the article was this woman who is a teaching aide at a school who takes one of the kids over to the stream to throw rocks at the stream while he's calming down. And I'm like, what a beautiful scene. Imagine if all of our kids had like that level of quality of education all the time, where someone is like, let me help you deal with these emotions.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it sound simpler than it is. And I'm sure I've been that teacher where you just have to deal, like you're trying to deal with a whole classroom full of kids, and then there's one causing a problem. You don't have that room to sort of like meet them where they are.
Yeah, they need a smaller teacher to kid ratio.
Yeah, but I also really like, they talk about in some schools who've really taken on this philosophy, they've actually started dividing their room in two, and there's this sort of recharge area and a more focused area, as opposed to like, well, okay, it's not a like punishment. It's like this person needs to go here for a second, and you know.
Yeah, it sounded sort of like what Brent's teacher was saying about. She has a little corner where there's like a basket of fidget spinners and stuff, and kids can just like go over there and like,
yeah,
unwind. But I thought one thing that I think is interesting in the article, they talk about how this type of punitive strategy is what contributes to the school to prison pipeline, and how certain kids are just getting punished over and over again, and then they're more likely to commit crimes because they see themselves as someone who just does things that they, you know, like,
yeah,
they haven't. So, and so they have the statistic. It says for Black kids with disabilities, the suspension rate is 25%. More than 1 in 4 African boy, American boys and 1 in 5 African American girls with disabilities will be suspended in a given school year. So there's sort of like this intersection. I think it affects Black kids and children with disabilities, but the kids who are at that intersection of both those things are suffering the most.
Yeah. And it is that trying to, in any sort of teaching with kids, if you can meet them where they are in a moment and to see what they're thinking about and focused on, if you can join them in that place, it is so much easier to then guide them to new information and new ideas, because you're putting the discovery more in their hands. They can at least, it feels like they're discovering it, and then they are more likely to remember it next time than when you just go, no, because then all they see is I'm in trouble, and it disconnects them from what was actually happening.
Well, it talked about there was like a school or a center or something that was like for kids with high needs, and there was all these guards stationed around, and they tried to implement this new technique, and apparently the staff were very skeptical because they were like, "This, these kids need discipline." And then the staff found over time that the more they would like stop and try to help these kids figure out a solution, the more the kids trusted the staff and vice versa. And it was just like built a much stronger bond between them.
Yeah. And then there's Maven.
And then there's Maven.
So this vacation, there was two instances, and one since we've been here, where she gets in a mode where she wants a thing and she doesn't get what she wants. And then, you know, or what was it? She was just like, I want to eat up here. I'm like, you have to eat over here. And she won't let it go. And then she forgets what she even wanted. And all she knows
is
that.
No, but part of it is just that she's very tired. She's used to being at daycare where they nap her every day. Yeah. And then when she's with us, she takes no nap ever. And so at the end of every day, she's just like feeling insane. Like she's like, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, one little thing just completely sets her off. And then she's done. So like one day when we were home, your mom got her this like beautiful princess dress for Christmas that she loved. And then when we tried to take it off at the end of the night, she freaked out.
She freaked out. And then I put her jammies on, and she didn't want those. I put her in bed. She didn't want that. And I was like, well, what do you want? And then all she can say is, and she just crawls on the ground and takes her clothes off. And so you want to ignore it, but then she starts hitting me. And I go, if you hit me, I have to hold you. And then we get in this pattern where she just rages because I'm holding her.
And then at one point she pretended to calm down and lay in bed with us, and then she peed on our bed.
Oh. That she wasn't even pretending to calm down. She reluctantly had to calm her body down so that she could pee on us. you were holding her from behind, so it probably felt like she was relaxing, but I saw her face and there was white burning rage in her eyes as she let the urine flow.
She's so evil.
Ugh. And what did my mom say? She's like, she's a stubborn one. That one.
Well, your parents were shocked because she's like the quietest, shyest girl all day long. And then all of a sudden they're like, what is this shrieking? She's
I came down. I felt bad. I came down and I said something like, she's the literal worst. And then Bryn was right there, and Bryn was like, don't say that about my sister. And I was like,
he's like, she's not the worst.
I'm like, oh no, you're right, Bryn. That was, I didn't mean that. And then I like apologized. And I was like,
he was like, that's my future wife you're talking about.
I had to tell Bryn he was right, which he loves.
Okay, well, I'm happy with him being right about that.
Yeah. I felt bad saying it. It's not a normal joke I make. What am I talking about? We say that all the time in this podcast.
Anyway.
I mean, for the record, she's the worst. And then
sometimes she's the worst.
And then she turns. And then you take her to Frozen 2. I wanted to sit next to her during that movie so bad. How was it?
Her eyes were lighting up at the beginning. She was like just so excited to see the sisters back together and singing together. Like, I feel like that part she was so into.
Yeah. And there was a horse.
Yeah.
That got me. There was.
Really love that horse, huh?
Well, it's just, you know, through story parts, I've adapted a million stories, and there's some classics in there, a lot, not all, a lot of little girls, and not just little girls, but a lot of little girls love to write what I just call the little girl horse fantasy, which is just finding a pony in the woods. It's scared and it's lonely. And then it bonds with
young
girl. And there's a lot of horse fantasy. And this was the epitome of little girl horse fantasy.
Yeah.
And there's some costume changes, magical costume changes. I feel like it's half of Frozen. And I hated Frozen, the first one, when I came out. I was like, this movie makes no sense. It's so convoluted. It's so disjointed. It doesn't feel like it goes together.
And now you're obsessed.
I hate it. I still think all those things are true, but I watched it with Maven and I'm like, I get it.
It was kind of fun. There's like one funny thing. I don't think this qualifies as a spoiler, but there's like a little scene where Olaf is reenacting the first movie for some people that they meet.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to fill them in on the backstory. Like, he does such a long reenactment of the first movie and like every iconic like moment. And it really is kind of like a funny parody of the first movie because you're like,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah, what a weird plot. This.
Yeah, it really. there's too much magic.
There's also like,
why are those trolls in there?
There's a very funny scene where they're doing charades too, where Olaf does an impression of Elsa, and he does this like hip shimmy thing she does in the first movie when she's singing her big song.
Oh, that's like, true.
And it's like, it's kind of funny that the animators or whoever are like self-aware enough to be like, this was the most ridiculous thing we put in the first movie. Like,
yeah. You know, there's only one thing I hate in the Frozen movies.
What?
Kristoff, he does that where he talks for the Sven. He talks for his reindeer. Oh, it's so not funny. And he's not good at doing it. And they double down on that bit in this movie so hard.
Also, the rock people in the first one are
the rock like, people what? Serve zero function. What is that? He's a bit of a fixer-upper song. Why is that in the movie?
It was clearly like a song that Disney had sitting around, and they were like,
they're like, hey, yeah, we got this song.
Anyway,
I do
Frozen
like the 2 movie.
Is good. It's a good movie. I liked it.
I think it was a more cohesive plot than the first one.
I agree, and I like that Disney is leaning into this sort of like pro like environment phase with
interesting.
Moana and this and that, like
also strong female leads that take care of themselves and don't need men to save them.
Yeah.
Although Anna does have a man save her at one point, but she doesn't need it.
I know. She does, but
It's only she's taken great risk upon herself.
Women can be independent and also loving.
It's true. It is a nice balance. it avoided a lot of stereotypical gendered relationships. It's a story I'd never seen before. Let it go, let it go, and ride a big old horse. That song exactly is in the movie. Spoilers.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All right. This email comes to us from Allison. Subject line, longtime fan, longtime babysitter. Hello, Peter and Beth. I have been listening to the podcast since you guys started. Don't know why. I don't know what made me start listening to it because I do not have kids. I love kids, but I love that other people have them and I get to sleep in on the weekends. I'm 30 years old, so not young. Not old either. I enjoy listening to you guys' banter and also find it interesting that your kids are going through similar milestones as my niece and nephew, who are about the same age as your kids. Anyway, I just wanted to write in to add my two cents about your babysitter reacting like your kids were dying because of their cough. I don't know if your babysitter has kids or not, but as someone who babysits quite a bit and does not have kids, I am overcautious about things. For instance, leaving the kids' bedroom door open so I can check that they're still breathing. I may have issues, LOL. I probably would not have texted you about it because obviously their coughs did not develop in the last hour or so while you were gone. But I understand being cautious when you don't have kids. This podcast got me pregnant. No, just the opposite. Ha ha. Keep up the good work with the podcast and raising your cool kids. Allison, it's the opposite? This podcast got you...
Let's not go there.
Oh, okay.
oh, boy. Okay.
I didn't mean it.
When I used to babysit, I probably did do similar things, like leave the door open at some point. But in general, if you can avoid bothering parents when they're out, you should, I think.
Interesting.
The only time I remember, like, texting people when I was babysitting their kids is, like, sometimes I'd be like, hey, you have no milk left. You might want to get milk on the way home. Because, you know, when you have like a toddler and they live on milk, just like, it was like this, they probably want to know this.
What if they got that text and they're like, they think that we can't parent? We don't have milk in the house?
No, whenever I sent that text to a mom who was like, you know, on her way home, she was like, oh my God, thank you. Like, because when you're
$50 extra.
When you're running in, especially in New York City where everything is a headache, like, you're, like, running in and you're like, oh, I'm going to walk by, like, three places with milk, but once I get inside, I can't get
milk. I don't want to go back for milk.
Well, no, you're just stuck home with your kid. You're not, like...
All right. That is good. I take it back. That's a good idea.
I was a great babysitter.
You really would be a great babysitter. Have you thought about being a babysitter?
No,
you would crush it now.
You know, I'm done with kids at this point in my life, I think.
Well, I think you got at least 15 more years. At least. All right, you ready for another one of these?
I'm ready for another one of these.
Thank you, Allison. Moving on, ready? Naomi. Getting dressed. Hi, guys. My 4-year-old is not a Taurus, but he is exceedingly distractible and can take an hour and a half or more to get dressed if I let him. However, there's something that's been working really well to encourage him along. Recently, I've been taking two toys and making them argue about how he gets dressed. For example, Book says in a growly voice, I think you should put underwear on first. And Car says in a higher voice, no, put your shirt on first. Then he gets to decide who to listen to. It does require some very focused attention from the parent and a toddler brother who is out of the room and at least isn't playing with toys distracting the older one. And it only takes 5 minutes or so, and it's much better than the alternative. Come on, honey, we need to leave soon. Get our pants on. Then get your pants on now. It's time to go. And then If your pants aren't on by the time I count to 10, I'm putting them on for you. And finally, okay, no more privileges ever because you can't do this very simple thing, you annoying child. Also, it's more than worth it to take time to set out clothes the night before because of the time and energy it saves in the morning. Love the show. Thanks, Naomi.
That's great. That's a good distraction technique.
This is, I feel like, feeds back into what we were talking about the, you know, instead of punishment. This is a great example. I'm like, all right, bedtime. Here we go. Here we go. If I just keep repeating it, which I do, it's a lot easier to figure out what they're focused on right now, go to that place, connect with them there, then you can guide them out of it and go, oh, is that Elsa? Oh, she's got her boots. I like her boots. I bet her boots are sleepy. Let's walk her boots to bed. So much more successful than bedtime. Let's go now. They just will not, literally not hear you.
Yeah. I mean, this technique specifically, I think I'd have to be careful with Maven because if I had, like with Maven and Bryn, sometimes they're savvy if we have characters talking in a voice directing them one way or another. Like Maven, with Maven and picking out pants, like it's sometimes best if you don't give any opinion because if you indicate that you're willing to have her wear any pair of pants, she's like suddenly against that pair.
Yeah.
And so you have to like pretend like you're not partial to any of the clothes in her drawer.
You sort of have to act like you're dead.
Yeah.
If she's aware of you.
Yeah, like you're just
her,
observing her curation process.
I have opened up the drawer and I'm like, all right, just pick. Just pick pants. Pick pants. All right, I'm going to come back. Pick pants. And then she gets on her knees and she looks in the drawer and she gets real still and she just looks back and forth at all of her pants. And I leave the room and I come back. I come back like 10 minutes later and she's has a pair of pants in her hand and she sees me and she just drops them and then goes back to looking. She didn't want me to see her.
Yeah. Anyway, our child's the worst.
She's the literal worst. But boy, I used to lay when they wake up in the morning and go eat breakfast, and for a few mornings I laid all their clothes out in the shape of an outfit. And that first day I did that, they came in and Bryn and Maven were like, "Whoa!" Maven was so excited to put her clothes on. But now she has to lay out her full outfit every morning as she slowly picks them. And so it takes twice as long to get dressed.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh boy, how are our necks? How's your neck?
I'm good. Do we have another email?
No, we don't. That's it.
Wow.
Well, we're in a weird place, weird home, so our pace is all off. We're going to end it. And we're going to end this one early, my babies. Never let me call you my babies ever again. I don't know. Beth, how did you feel about it?
Okay, our babies.
Okay, our babies.
Our other babies. This has been another episode of
We Know's Parenting.
If you'd like to submit a question, share a story, give some advice, or a parenting hypothetical for our Would You Know segment, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
If you want to find us on social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you can find us at weknowspod. Also, maybe this is the week you write us a review. You give us 5 stars. And you rate and review. Did I already say that? Subscribe. That's the third thing. That's always good. This is my new rate and review character. It's a work in progress. Save me, Beth. Save me from this horrible outro.
Bye.
Bye.